Please stand for the reading of God's Word. From the book of Isaiah, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. From the Gospel of Matthew, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? The word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father God, as your infallible and your inerrant word has been read, we again now, Lord, seek a word from you, a word, Father, that you would speak through me, that I, Lord, as your instrument, nothing more than your instrument, that, Lord, that I would rightly divide your word. And Lord, as I speak, Father, let your people know beyond a shadow of doubt, Lord, that you're speaking to them this morning. And Lord, we pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Let me ask a question. Does God answer every prayer? What do you think? And if God doesn't, is it because we do not have enough faith? Which is it? You've heard preachers preach in such a way to where if you didn't receive what you've been praying for, maybe it's something wrong with you. And I grew up in a Christian tradition that made you feel that way. And of course, have you ever heard of the Word of Faith movement? Well, in the prosperity gospel, within that larger movement, there's this tenet of faith called the Word of Faith, taught again by false teachers. I know that's controversial to say that these days, but there are false teachers. In fact, in the Bible, I've been doing a lot of studying lately, and the Bible, when it talks about the last days, which we are in, did you know the last days began with the coming of Christ? It was inaugurated. And in Scripture, it tells us that in the last days, until the return of Jesus, there will be an intensification of false teachers like we've never seen before. You know, there's a passage that gives me pause, that in effect worries me. Because in the Scriptures, it tells us that one of the prominent forms of tribulation that we experience as last days Christians, the tribulation comes in the form of false teaching within the pulpits of the church today. And when I look across the American landscape, I see that. And a case in point is this idea of the prosperity gospel, the Word of Faith teaching. You say, well, Pastor, what does the Word of Faith teach? Well, the Word of Faith teaches that when you pray, all you have to do is name what you want, claim what you want for yourself, and you will have it. All you have to do is ask and seek and knock. And they say that it will be received. You will find all of your dreams will come true. Now, to be fair, these teachers that teach that, they will tell you, you are not to pray for something inherently evil. Right? So they're not saying to pray for something inherently evil, because even the most immature Christian will know there's something wrong with that. But they do tell us, whatever your desire is, spiritual, material, it doesn't matter. If you have a desire for $1 million, $2 million, $3 million house, it's yours if you believe it enough. Case in point, let me share with you what one false teacher says that teaches this sort of word of faith. It says, when you ask God for something, you take it, believing that you have it from the moment you ask, that is receiving. Then start thanking God for it. If you've been praying for a new car, rather than continuing to beg and plead for God to give you one, says you should take it How do you take it? You take it by saying, thank you, Lord, for my new car. I believe, I receive it, it's mine, I have it now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it goes on and says, now, does that mean your new car will instantly show up in the driveway? Well, not necessarily. But that doesn't matter. This person says, in the realm of the Spirit, you've got to take it. From the point of your prayer, it's yours. And if you keep saying so and don't waver, you'll be driving that car. Ah, can you imagine? Boy, if I preached this way in the pulpit every Sunday, this church would be overflowing with people. Let me go on again. This person says this about sickness. The same is true if you're dealing with sickness. When you pray, you can say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. I take it by faith, so it's mine. I believe I have it. Thank you that every symptom is gone from my body, Lord. Now, although, the person goes on to says, although your physical feelings may not come in line right now, don't get discouraged. Just keep seeing yourself well and use the Word of God and your words to receive the healing you've already taken by faith. And your healing will surely manifest. Unquote. Think about that. Have you ever heard preaching like that? I hate to say, when you open, listen to the radio or look at a lot of TV preachers, isn't it true that this is the majority of teaching and preaching that you hear out today? You know why? Because we're in the last days. Many, many false teachers. But let's back up a little bit. You know, I'm saying this false based on what? Is this what Jesus means when he commands us this morning that we read? We're to do what? Ask. We're to do what? Seek. We're to do what? Knock. Well, let me nip this right in the bud. Jesus' famous text about asking and seeking and knocking is not, I put that in capital letters, is not a carte blanche for our material desires. Jesus has not given us unlimited discretionary power to ask of anything, to seek after anything, and knock on heaven's door for anything. Is that clear? God is not a cosmic slot machine who will grant us all of our wishes. But Jesus is teaching us that if we pray with one, persistence, and two, with confidence regarding our spiritual lives, then He, God, will 100% of the time answer our prayers 100% of the time in the affirmative. Of course, you say, well, Pastor, what do we have to do for God to do that? For God to answer our prayers, we must first pray with persistence. And secondly, we have to believe it. We have to pray with confidence. So, beloved, this is my two-point sermon this morning. First, we are to pray to God with persistence. And secondly, we're to pray to God with confidence. Let's look at the first one. We're to pray to God with persistence. Watch what Jesus says in verse 7 to 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Then Jesus explains, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. I want us to notice something from our text this morning. Notice the ascension of the prayer. This prayer begins low, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. It builds this way. First, notice that the base level, we're to ask. And say, Pastor, what's the implication of asking? Well, this implies we have a need. That's simple. We have a need. It implies that we depend on God. Also, this also suggests humility. Humility. We are subordinate to God, and God is our superior. We have no right to make demands on God. Now, right out of the gate, do you see how contrary this is to the Word of Faith movement that puts man's word on equal footing to God's word. And in fact, that's one of the greatest dangers of the Word of Faith Prosperity Gospel movement. It says that your words can trump God's word. I actually heard one of these famous preachers say that, you remember John the Baptist's father, Zechariah? Remember God was going to go to him and say, "Hey, Zechariah, I'm going to give you a child. He's going to be John the Baptist." And this Word of Faith healer or person said that God closed up Zechariah's mouth. You ever wonder why? He said it was because if Zechariah has spoken a word contrary to what the angels was going to say, it would have blocked God's promise. Blasphemy. But notice here in Scripture, it doesn't say that our words are on equal footing with God's. That we first must ask God. That's important. Second step is this. After we ask, we're to seek. Seek. Understand that seeking is adding action to asking. You say, why is that big? That's important because it suggests effort. Effort. Case in point. Say you need a job. Right? Is needing a job a good thing to have? In fact, Jesus says you can pray for a job. That's part of our daily bread. Jesus said when you come to God and you have a basic need, you're to come to God and pray for your daily bread. I'm pretty sure a job would be part of that. So say you come to me and you're in need of a job, and say that you, every day, you pray to God for that job. You pray every morning and every evening. You pray every day, every week, and every month. And after, I don't know, 6 months, you come to my office and you say, "Pastor, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've been asking and asking and asking and asking, and nothing so far. What's up?" Of course, I would look at you and ask this. You have been asking, but have you been seeking? Seeking. Have you been beating the bushes 8 hours of the day? Have you been putting your resume out? Has your job search become your job? And if you say to me, "No," I will respond to you, "That's why. That's why." Jesus is saying here that it's not enough to ask. We must seek. We must put forth an effort of blood, sweat, and tears. You know, a lot of times God doesn't answer our prayers because we're just too lazy to do anything about it. Amen? We want God to just drop out gifts from the sky, like manna. You know why God dropped manna from the sky? Because there was no means. The people of Israel had no way of making food and clothing. So God made sure they had the sandals that would last them 40 years. God made sure that raw water would come out of the rock. God would make sure that manna would come down from heaven. But as soon as the Israelites got into the land of the promise, where there was water, where there was means of making clothing, where there was food to gather, God stopped the manna and said, "Now you work." So it's not enough to ask. Beloved, we've got to seek. But there's a third step in this ascension. We have to knock. Knocking implies asking and seeking with persistence. We must persevere in our asking and knocking. Did you know here in the grammar of these Greek verbs, ask, seek, knock, did you know they're in the present active imperative? I usually don't give you grammar when I preach. I don't want to bore you to death. But this is important. This is the present active imperative, meaning that this is a command, not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's a command of continual action. This is not like the aorist imperative that says, "Shut that door." What does that mean? It's a command to shut the door once. This is not so with this verb. This verb is an imperative, but it's a continual thing. We're to keep on asking. We're to keep on seeking. We're to keep on knocking. And if you keep on asking, well, guess what? Jesus says it will be given. And if you keep on seeking, you will find it. And if you keep on knocking, it will be open up to you. You see, we usually don't have a problem praying with passion and persistence when it comes over our health, when it comes to our family's health, or maybe for friends. Generally speaking, we as Christians find it easy to pray for things like when we're in financial problems, or say if our lives are in danger. Even atheists pray to God sometimes when they're in danger. But what Jesus commands us to pray for here in Matthew 7:7-11, please get this. It's not over physical needs and desires. Why? Because how many physical needs have we prayed for and God said no? In fact, aren't you happy that sometimes God says no to some of our prayers? If God gave you everything you prayed for, how would you be today? Would you be miserable? Ladies, when you had that puppy love back in the day, and, oh, Lord, I want to marry this man. Today you find out, thank Lord I didn't. I mean, how many times have we prayed for something later on to find out that it was the grace of God that he said no? Thank the Lord that God doesn't answer all of our prayers. So I do believe that, for instance, God supernaturally, providentially can and does heal today. But he doesn't always do that. Why else would we not pray for physical needs? But again, how many times have, for instance, have I prayed that God would heal someone and he did not? I remember in my first calling, in my first church, it was a young lady by the name of Linda Young. She was 42 years old, great health. She was a nurse and she had young children. And she came across, well, when she had a physical exam and she told the doctor that she wanted to have a colonoscopy, something was wrong. They found out stage 4 colon cancer. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And God didn't act. You know, she told me before she died, she said, oh, Carl, I just want to be here for my little boys and my girl. Had a child from 2 years old, 1 to 18, and all between. God didn't answer that prayer. And sweet Linda went on to be with the Lord. Matthew 7:7-11 is not a prayer of physical healing or physical needs, because we know in our own lives that God sometimes says yes. Sometimes God says no. Matthew 7:7-11 is not that every need that we have we're to pray for. Jesus is commanding us to pray for, please get this, every spiritual need that we have. You get that? Spiritual needs. Well, think about this. What spiritual needs do we have? Well, Jesus so far has outlined and expounded for us a myriad of spiritual needs. Why do you think I've been taking my time, all this time, going through the Sermon on the Mount? Because it exposes to us our spiritual need. How many of you so far feel like you've kept all the Sermon on the Mount, everything that Jesus commanded of you to do? Raise your hands. Let me put mine down now. You see what the Sermon on the Mount has done. It has expressed to us our needs. What are our needs? It's our needs of spiritual poverty. It's our need of a broken heart that cries over sin and the sins of others. It's a need of hungering and thirsting over righteousness. It is our need of having a righteousness that surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees. These are needs. It's our needs also of sexual purity. It's our need of loving our enemies. It's our need of hallowing the name of God. It's our need of God's kingdom of grace to be expanded in our lives. It's our need for God's kingdom of glory to come. It is our need for the strength to conform our will to the will of God. Do you see what the Sermon on the Mount has done for us? It exposed our lives and what we need from God. These are just some of the spiritual needs that we need. God, remember, saves us in order to change us. Somebody came to me and says, Pastor, how do I know I'm born again? Is it based on the altar call that I gave 20 years ago? No. As I say, there's many, many people who are still born again. How do we know we are born again? How do you know? Has God been changing you? Is there a change in your life? And I went back to my family and preached my grandma's funeral. Most of my family still remembers the old Carl, that little boy that got in trouble all the time. After I had preached, they were looking at me like, who in the world is this? You just ask my wife. I was full of myself. And then the Lord took this decrepit, sinful, wicked heart at age, 20, 21, and changed me. That hasn't been automatic, but it's been slow and gradual. It has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has to do with the Spirit of God within us, changing us from the inside out. And beloved, one of the means of grace that God uses in our lives is prayer. Prayer and the Word and the sacraments. These are all means. I'll get back to that later on. But understand that God has commanded us to grow in grace. Beloved, this is an imperative. An imperative that is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are important. Why? Why are these fruits important? John tells us in 1 John 3, 8-9. Listen to what John tells us. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God, that means born again, makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. You can't get simpler than that, beloved. Understand, God has saved us again to change us. And as I said also, prayer is one of those so important means of grace that God uses in our lives to purify us, purify the remaining sin in our lives. And this includes not only praying reactively. This morning we prayed reactively, didn't we? Prayed. A prayer of confession is you reacting to your sin. You do the sin, it's like, oops, God forgive me. That's good. Don't get me wrong. Thank God that we have prayers of confession. We can do it corporately, we can go home and do it. But beloved, that's just one way that prayer is used to pray reactively to sin. But did you know that here in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus gives us a proactive way to sin? That is to pray before we sin. In other words, Jesus' command that we are to ask, seek, and knock is a proactive prayer before we sin. It's a prayer of personal holiness and growth. We all know the saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a what? A pound of cure. Beloved, this is true of holiness. It is much better to judge yourself first, than to be judged by God later with the same judgments you use to judge other people. You remember that? Do not judge. So here Jesus commands us to pray with persistence. How persistent have we been? However, we're to also pray with confidence. With confidence. In other words, if you don't believe it, it won't happen. Confidence. This is my second point. Look at verses 7 through 11 again. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. The one who seeks will find. The one who knocks will be open. Watch, verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will be given a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will be given a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask of him? I want you to notice something here. Notice Jesus says, once you ask, be confident. Believe it. Believe that your Heavenly Father will give you what you ask. Once you seek, be confident. Once you knock, be confident that the floodgates of heaven will open up and God will give you the gifts that you need. Be confident. Be confident that when you ask and seek and knock, that heaven will open up and do this. Beloved, do you notice the key here? Again, is confidence. This is not rocket science. Of course, to illustrate this, Jesus points to this sort of child-parent dynamics. You know? Jesus looks at your parents. Jesus looks at you as being parents. And Jesus says this. He says, if you were hungry for bread or hungry for fish, you wouldn't expect your father to hand you a stone so you can bite into the stone and break your teeth, would you? Is that what your dad would do? You wouldn't expect your mother, if you're hungry for fish, to hand you a snake. And instead of you biting the meal ends up biting you and killing you. You wouldn't expect that out of your parents, would you? Does that even make sense? It says, aren't you confident enough that your mother and your father would do good to you? Of course, if so, Jesus says, then if your dear mom and if your dear dad would not do such bad things to you, but good things, they who being evil, you know, as good as you are as a parent, you're still evil. We're still sinners. There is no perfect parent, unlike God. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if your parents being evil will give you good gifts, then what about your Heavenly Father? How much more from Him? Jesus is saying, be confident. Be confident that when you pray that your Heavenly Father will give you all the good gifts, the spiritual gifts that you need. We read from Isaiah 49:15, where Isaiah asked rhetorically, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, Isaiah says, yet I will not forget you. So in conclusion this morning, I want to leave this sermon here by giving you some homework. Everybody here like homework? I'm going to give you some, right? I want you to go home, even go right now. I want you to write down a list of all the spiritual qualities that you lack. All the spiritual qualities. Now, if you have had time, I want you to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. This is Sermon 30. Go back on the internet, starkdale.org. Go back to the sermons and go through them. And if you're having a hard time, I'm sure if you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, you'll maybe find at least one or two spiritual qualities where you lack. I'm sure it'll be more than that. Then I want you to just write them down. Secondly, after you write them down, I want you to pray with persistence over those. I want you to ask, seek, and knock. Seriously, be persistent. Then after you do that, thirdly, pray to God with confidence that God will give you what you lack. Do I have any people here that struggle with patience? Raise your hands. Write that down. Me as well. Write that down. Then ask, seek, and knock for patience. Do I have any people maybe struggle with sexual purity? If it is, ask, seek, and knock, and God will give you the purity. Do I have anybody here that struggles with peace of mind? Any worry warts? That was my grandmother. She was the biggest worry wart in the world. One time I said, Grandma, you didn't have anything to worry about, you would worry about that, right? Anybody understand that? Jesus says, if you're the type of person that worries and you do not have peace of mind, ask and seek and knock for the peace of God. Beloved, if you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, Jesus' promise is it will be open. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you always for your infallible and inerrant word. And as we end my sermon this morning, we pray, Lord, that no longer will we pray out of a covetous spirit. No longer will we pray, Lord, out of greed. The Lord, we realize that in this text, what you're commanding us to do is to put our spiritual man and woman first. That we're to pray for our spiritual needs. That what matters in this life is not the material, but the spiritual. What matters is not whether we store up treasure here on earth, but we store it up spiritually in heaven. Oh Lord, we pray that as we come to near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that we would take your words, Jesus, very seriously. That, Lord, that we will be humble in our asking. Lord, that we will be, Father, active in our seeking. Oh Lord, that we will be persistent, Lord, in our knocking. That, Lord, that we will be confident in our asking, seeking, and knocking. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.